You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome everyone to this Monday edition of The Daily Dime. Today is April 21st and we had a jam-packed weekend of sports with the NBA and the NHL postseasons and a bunch of MLB games as well. So let's talk about it. So I wanted to start off in the NBA. We had the first playoff game starting on Saturday, and the first one that we had was between the Pacers and the Bucks, which is the 4-5 series in the East. And I honestly had a lot higher hopes for the Bucks in this one, but they ended up losing by 19 on the road. And I knew Giannis would have to be like Superman coming into this series, especially without Dame in these first couple games. And he was. He was great. He was 14 for 23 from the field. He had 36 points. The one knock is that he was only 8 for 15 from the free throw line, so he definitely left some points on the board. But them losing by almost 20, it probably wasn't going to make a big enough difference. He had 12 rebounds, a couple blocks. But yeah, aside from that, he didn't really get any other help. And I thought, you know, I know the role players aren't always great, especially on the road in the playoffs, but I thought he would get a little bit more help than he did. Just even just looking at the box score, if you look at what the other starters put up, Torian Prince, 0 points, Kuzma, 0 points, Brooke Lopez, 9 points, Ryan Rollins, 5 points. Like, he got 14 points from the rest of the starters combined. Just pathetic. And the worst was Kuzma. He put up like the Tony Snell stat line in 22 minutes. He didn't register any stats. I mean, he had literally 0 points. He was 0 for 5 from the field, 0 for 2 from the free throw line. He had 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, 0 turnovers. Like, just, it's insane that that happens in the playoffs. And especially for a player like Kuzma. I mean, I know he's not a superstar, but that's someone that you're counting on to be a pretty solid role player, especially in the postseason. And they just got literally nothing from him besides 2 fouls. He was minus 24 in 22 minutes. So just horrible outing from him. They did get some scoring off the bench. Gary Trent Jr. had 14. AJ Green had 15. Kevin Porter Jr. had 12. But that was really it for the rest of the Bucks. So Pacers go up 1-0 in the series. And what's even more frustrating if you're a Bucks fan is Haliburton wasn't even that good. I mean, he was 3 for 13 from the field. He didn't hit a 3. He was 0 for 7. He finished with only 10 points. He was pretty good facilitating. He had 12 assists. But, you know, he's supposed to be their best player, and you hold him to 10 points, and you still lose by 20. Not a good omen for them. But I will say, Siakam is awesome, and I think he's a super underrated player. And I just don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. He finished with 25 on 10 for 15 shooting, so a super efficient night. They got some pretty good games from Turner and Nembhard as well. So they go on to win, as I said, we'll see if anything changes with Dame coming back. He's been upgraded to questionable for game 2. I kind of have a feeling he's still not going to play, but I think he'll come back when they go to Milwaukee. So, I don't have any hopes for them winning game 2, especially if he doesn't play, but I think they might be a little bit of a different team, especially with him. And if they can win both games in Milwaukee, then we've got a series, but right now it's not looking too great for them. So then the next game we had the Clippers and the Nuggets, which was the 4-5 matchup in the West. And this was the series that I thought would be the best one, you know, maybe for the entire playoffs, but for sure in the first round. And it lived up to the hype. The Clippers looked really good to start. You know, they had the early lead, but the Nuggets just kind of kept like chipping away. They eventually come back and tie it late. And then this one goes to overtime. And we got the full Russell Westbrook experience coming down the stretch here. It was just like great play followed up by boneheaded play and just vice versa, just in a cycle of just like, he's so explosive still and can be so great in moments, but then just loses his mind in others. But anyway, the Nuggets going to win 112 to 110 in overtime, as I mentioned. But the one thing about this game that I was kind of expecting was almost like more, I don't know if fireworks is the best word, but I really thought that some of these guys just might go crazy. In terms of their stats, but it was kind of like almost exactly what you would expect. Everyone had like a pretty good game. No one was great and completely stood out. And no one had a bad game either from your usual suspects. So like Kawhi had 22 on 60% shooting. Harden had 32. Zubac, who I think is another underrated guy. I think he's in the running for most improved player. I don't know if he was a finalist or not, but he's someone that also flies under the radar. He had 21 for them. And so again, kind of your usual suspects, all their starters were in double figures. And then same for the Nuggets too. Aaron Gordon had 25, Jokic had 29. He was a rebound shy of a triple double. Jamal Murray had 21. But again, I thought this was a series where like one team might fall apart. One just might explode and you might have a guy go for 50 or even 60, who knows. And it was just kind of like average. Like it was very good basketball, and these teams I think are very evenly matched. They both had 50 wins in the regular season, and I thought they might be trending in opposite directions, but the Nuggets win game one, and I think they needed to at home. I don't think there's ever been a must win game one, but it felt like they could potentially slide a little bit if they didn't get a dub here. So I think this series still probably goes at least 6 or 7. But yeah, Nuggets leading 1-0 after that one. And then back to the East, we had the Knicks and the Pistons. And the Pistons were in control of this one almost completely throughout. They were leading, I think it was like 98-90 in the fourth quarter. And then they just completely fell apart, like just went AWOL. And I think it was a 23-0 run for the Knicks at one point. So they, you know, they end up building their own, you know, double digit lead, and they would go on to win 123-112. But like I said, I was a little bit surprised at first because I know the Pistons they're somewhat of a dangerous team. They're young, energetic. They've got some really good players. And a couple of vets like Tobias Harris, you know, I feel like he always, he gets like the short end of the stick on social media, but I've always thought he's a pretty good role player. And so I thought they could be more dangerous than most people were expecting. And it looked like they came out, you know, especially on the road playing in the Garden. That's not an easy environment for a young team. And for them to come out and perform like they did, I was a little bit surprised. And then they just, you know, fell apart in the fourth quarter. So they got outscored 40-21 in the fourth. But I think this has to be promising. Like you're probably not expecting to win a game on the road in either of these first two games. But you showed that you could hang with them for at least 3.5 quarters. So if you can just put it together and not have, you know, a spurt like that where you just completely lose it, then, you know, they're going to be competitive. So even with the Knicks winning, I think if you're a Pistons fan, you've got to be hopeful for the rest of the series. And on top of it, like the Knicks played about as well as they could have, it seemed like. I mean, Brunson had 34. You got 23 on 10-for-14 shooting from Karl Anthony Towns. Anunoby had 23. They didn't really have anyone that had a bad game. And so, you know, this seemed like this was about as well as the Knicks could play. And the Pistons just had a run where they got demolished. So if you can avoid that, I think they're going to be all right in this one. And then the final game that we had on Saturday was the Lakers and Timberwolves. And I was like completely wrong, well, for the most part, on this one for my original predictions. The Lakers, they started off pretty hot, like early in the first quarter. I think they had a lead. I think they were up by at least like 8 at one point. And then Minnesota just went nuclear on them. I mean, they just ran it up. They end up winning by 22, and it didn't even feel like it was that close at certain times. Now, I will say there was a run at the end of the third quarter where the Lakers had cut the lead into the teens, and then Luka banks in a three from half court to end the quarter, and you're thinking like, okay, maybe they will have a chance here if they can go on another run to start the fourth. But they just never got close enough. They only put up 17 points in the fourth quarter, and it just wasn't meant to be. So it was a weird game from them. They like Luka played really well, which I thought he would. I know I mentioned it last week that I thought he would step up his game, be more efficient, and he was. He was 12-for-22 from the field. He had 37 points, 8 rebounds. Now, he only had 1 assist, which is weird. And kind of, if you look at their box score, all of it's weird. LeBron, he seemed almost like disengaged early in the game. I think he only took 1 or 2 shots in the first quarter. He ended up finishing with 18, so he picked it up later on. 18 shots, that is. He had 19 points. But he only had 3 assists and 5 rebounds, just an odd game for him. And then no one else was really relevant for them. Austin Reeves was the only other player in double figures, but he was 5 for 13 from the field. And he was a guy that I talked about last week too. I think if they're going to win, I think he needs to be really special for them in the playoffs. And that's a little concerning, especially at home, for him to only put up 16 on a pretty poor shooting night. So yeah, I don't know. It was a super weird game. I would like to think that they'll probably pick it up in game two. And I think that's pretty much a must win for them. If they lose game two and go down 2-0 going on the road back to Minnesota, then I think they're pretty much done, because even if they split in Minnesota, I mean, being down 3-1, we know how hard that is. I know LeBron has done it once in Cleveland, but it's still super, super rare. So I think game two is an absolute must win for them. And yeah, we'll see. Like I said, Luka was great, but everyone else, just weird, weird night for them. So anyway, yeah, so Timberwolves up 1-0 there. And then that'll lead us to Sunday. Our first game was, so I actually didn't get to watch the first half for this, just being Easter and everything. But at one point, I opened up my phone to check the score, and it was like 80-38. The Thunder were up on the Grizzlies, and I could not believe it. I thought it was wrong. And so I like checked Twitter, and I was like, oh, this is what's happening right now. And so they just get blown out. The final was 131-80. A 51-point win is just absurd in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I will say, I kind of thought this would happen in game one for the Grizzlies, because they had two really physical play-in games. Ja Morant is obviously beat up a little bit with his ankle and just not really having any rest. I figured, okay, they're going against a team that had an historic regular season, and I think they're just exhausted. But, you know, I thought they might lose by like 20, not 51. Just an abysmal performance from them. They only had one player in double figures. That was Ja. He was 6 for 17 from the field, only 1 for 6 from three. They were 6 for 34 from three as a team. They only shot 34% as a whole. Just really, really rough night for them. Oh, actually, Bagley was also in double figures with 17. He went 8 for 8 from the field, but everyone else was just garbage. The rest of the team was like 24 for 85. Just a horrible game from them. Now, it's just one game. I think they'll bounce back a little bit. I don't think they're going to have a chance to actually win the series, but I think they can win a game or two. But yeah, I did like, I think it was Big Cat's idea. I saw someone mention on Twitter too, like, if you win the first game of a series by 50, it should just be over. And it would make the games a lot more interesting. Like that would, because that's what's even crazier about this game from the Thunder perspective. Like, no one played more than 26 minutes for them. Like they truly rested their starters for a majority of this game because they were already up by so much, and they still won by 51. So it would have been funny. Like that would obviously be a rule that would never be implemented, but if it was, to see them keep those guys in and then see the Grizzlies try and fight back just to keep it within 50 is just, I think that'd be really entertaining. But anyway, yeah, just an absolute blowout here. I didn't even bother watching the second half because it was so bad. And speaking of bad, like Desmond Bane, who was great in the last play-in game too, his plus minus was minus 51. Like literally what the difference was in the game was his plus minus. I think I saw a stat too. I think it's the worst plus minus ever in playoff history. But I think he also has the highest plus minus ever in a playoff game. He was like plus 44 in a game. I think it was a few years ago. So yeah, wild first game to start off on Sunday there with that blowout. And then we had the Celtics and the Magic, and this one was never really close either. The Magic just, it never felt like they really had a chance here. It didn't get completely out of hand like the first game did, but they ended up losing 103-86. And I think what's frustrating, if you're a Magic fan, like the top guys for the Celtics did not play that well. Tatum, you know, he only had 17 points in 40 minutes. He was 8 for 22 from the field, 1 for 8 from 3, missed all of his free throws. And then, I mean, even just looking at the rest of their starters, like Kristaps only had 5 points, Drew Holiday had 9, Jaylen Brown only had 16, he was 6 for 14 from the field. Like, not an awful game, but just not up to his potential. But the difference was Derek White. He had 30 points, he made 7 threes, And then Pritchard was great off the bench too. He had 19. He made 4 threes of his own. And to lose that game, you know, just looking box score wise, like by 17. And Paolo was great too. Like your best player, he had 36. He was 14 for 27 from the field. He had 11 boards. Wendell Carter Jr. like only had 4 points, but 13 rebounds. Wagner had 23, and you just had no chance in this game. So, not a great omen either for the Magic here. You got to assume that Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to step it up a little bit, and that's what's so scary about the Celtics team is they just have so many guys, and they don't need everybody to play their A game. They don't even need like half their players to play their A game, and they're probably still going to win. They're just that deep. So yeah, I don't know if the Magic are going to have a chance to even win a game here in the first round. I really like their team. I know I've said it before, but I think they're just completely overmatched by this Celtics team. And they're very similar to the Cavs. So we'll actually transitioning to the next game. We had the Cavs and the Heat. And this game was kind of similar. The Cavs were pretty much in control from the jump, but then Miami went on a run. I think they cut it to 3 at one point in the third quarter, but then Ty Jerome just went nuclear for them. It felt like every time he touched the ball, the Cavs were going to score. And then looking back, I saw a stat after. It was true because there was a stretch of 25 points where he scored or assisted on every single bucket, and I think he had 17 of those. And so he ends up finishing with, what did he have? He had like 28. Yeah, he had 28 on 10 for 15 shooting. I mean, he was just fantastic. And I know I mentioned it last week too. I think a lot of people are going to get to learn his name over this playoff run. He's been a huge dynamic piece for them all season, but I think he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. And so I think, he's probably not going to he's not going to do this every game. He just doesn't get the minutes to do it. But he's going to have a few games like this, and it's going to be the difference maker for the Cavs. Their other two usual suspects were great. Donovan Mitchell had 30. Darius Garland had 27, and they combined to do that on 21 for 36 from the field. So they were super efficient. You didn't get a ton from Mobley in this game. He was only 4 for 10. Didn't seem super active. He only had 7 rebounds for a big guy, 9 points. But he just does so much defensively still. He didn't register anything. He didn't have any steals or blocks. But he's just still such a difference maker down there, especially with Allen as well. And that's where this is another one of those games like Strus only had 9 points. Mobley only had 9. Allen only had 12. And then two of the guys that are expected to be big contributors on this team with DeAndre Hunter and Okoro as well, they both had 0 points. They were combined 0 for 8 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3. They only had 5 rebounds and 2 assists. And so, again, you look at some of those performances like you saw in the Celtics and you think, wow, like if I was just looking at the box score, we probably had a chance in this game. But it just never happened. The Cavs end up winning 121 to 100, largely in part thanks to that run from Ty Jerome. But again, that's what's so scary about this team is they, just like the Celtics, they don't need everybody to play their A game every night, and they're still super, super dangerous. So I really hope we end up with the Cavs-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals because there's just so many great players there, and I think it'd be a fantastic series. But yeah, so Cavs up 1-0, and they will have game 2 later this week. And then the final game that we had from the weekend, which was another great game, was Warriors and Rockets. And this one was kind of back and forth. Houston started out pretty hot, but then Golden State went on a huge run. They outscored the Rockets 29-13 in the second quarter. And so they end up taking a pretty big lead, but then the Rockets kind of came storming back, and you're thinking, oh, but like here they are at home. They've got all the momentum. But it just wasn't enough. And Steph was so, so good down the stretch here. I talked about this on the latest pod, where I've kind of been pretty critical of Steph in big games that are tight, especially of him kind of shying away a little bit, being a little bit more of a front runner. But he was fantastic down the stretch in this one. It felt like every time they needed a big bucket, he hit one. And it wasn't that he was just making shots. Like, they were ridiculous shots, like falling out of bounds into the crowd or super deep. I mean, some of them had to have been, I didn't see the exact stats, but they had to have been from like 32, 35 feet. I mean, he was way out there on some of these. And he ended up finishing with 31 on 12 for 19 shooting on the way to the Warriors' 95-85 win. And super impressive for them just on the defensive end too. I think that was the lowest point total that the Rockets had all year. I mean, only 85 points is super impressive for a team as explosive as they are, you know, that won 52 games in the West. And so yeah, the Warriors get the win. I wasn't too surprised. I picked them to win this series, but I wasn't sure if they would get game one. They had to play that extra play-in game. You know, being on the road, it's just a little bit of a tough scenario for them, but they were ready. They stepped up, in the moment. Jimmy Butler, he played really well too. He had 25 points on 10 for 19 shooting, 6 assists. He had 5 steals. So again, defensively really, really solid. And yeah, the Warriors are going to be, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with definitely through the rest of these playoffs. I don't think they're going to win in like 5. I'd be really surprised if the Rockets only get one win here in the series, but I still think they win in like 6 or 7. So that wrapped up most of the NBA coverage from the weekend. There was some other news recently that where Cooper Flagg had announced that he's officially going to enter his name into the draft. I know there was some speculation that he like could go back to Duke, but I don't think it ever had any real legs. So he'll be the number one pick later this summer. And then also another thing I saw that I wanted to bring up was I saw Nico, like the GM for the Mavs, had another press conference, and there was a quote from it where he said, like, I didn't realize how much Luka meant to the Mavs, like the Mavs fans. And I just like, I've tried to kind of defend him a little bit. Like I think it was a horrible trade that he made, but I could like kind of see the vision a little bit for what he was going for. But especially if they didn't believe in him, you know, internally. But oh my gosh, it's getting to a point where you can't even defend him anymore. Like what do you mean you don't know how important the cornerstone franchise, like superstar player is to the fan base? He's clearly beloved by them, which is a lot of players in the league that are the best player on their teams, but especially him. And I don't know if he's just saying it to say it or if he truly believes it or not, but just like, he just needs to stop talking. It's just crazy that we just keep getting these sound bites where it's like, he's just digging himself deeper and deeper into a hole. And I kept trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I just don't think it's possible anymore. Like, it's just indefensible, dude. Like, oh, I don't know. So I just wanted to mention that, 'cause I thought that was absolutely insane. But anyway, transitioning from basketball, we had a bunch of MLB games this weekend too, obviously in full swing in the regular season here. But the one I want to talk about was the Reds put up 24 runs on the Orioles yesterday, which was just insane. Very rarely see that. But then also, if you haven't seen this play yet, Ellie De La Cruz had a catch. If you don't know him, he's the shortstop for the Reds. But there was like a liner up the middle, and he catches it like 10 feet on the other side of second base. Just full extension, like insane diving catch. One of the better plays that you'll ever see. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out on like Twitter or ESPN or something. I'm sure you can find it with a simple Google search. But and there was also a great reaction from the pitcher too. Like it was such a crazy catch. He literally turns around and like a 6-year-old like jumps up in the air, like arms and legs like fully extended, like just, it was just raw emotion because it was such an incredible play. So yeah, definitely go check that out if you haven't seen that yet. And then I just wanted to do like a quick run through of the standings. We're about like 20 games in, so it's still early, but there's been so much talk about the Dodgers and how good they are and could they threaten like the win records and everything. So I figured it'd be good to even just do like a little tracker on them occasionally throughout the season. And they've been great so far. They're 16-7 through their first 23 games. But what's even more surprising is they're not even in first in their own division. The Padres are 16-6 right now. And so it's obviously a loaded division. Right now, like you have the Diamondbacks who are 13-9 in fourth place, because the Giants are 14-8, and then you have obviously the Dodgers and the Padres at the top. So crazy, crazy division. But and then obviously you have the Rockies, who are maybe the worst team in the league at the bottom. But those top four teams are nuts. So that'll be fun to follow throughout the rest of the season. So that was just one quick thing that I wanted to mention. And then we did have some NHL playoffs starting this weekend as well. I know we haven't covered these as extensively, but we had the Jets hosting the Blues on Saturday. They ended up winning 5-3. And then after that, we had the Stars hosting the Avalanche, but they got blown out 5-1 in that opening series game. And then on Sunday, we had a few more games. We had Carolina hosting New Jersey. They won 4-1. And then the home teams won all these games, actually. The Maple Leafs, they were hosting the Senators. They won 6-2. And Vegas beat Minnesota 4-2 to close out the weekend. So yeah, that's pretty much everything we had, you know, recapping from Saturday and Sunday. We do have a few more games tonight. In the NHL, we have the Caps and Canadiens. We have the Jets and Blues again. Stars and Avalanche again. And then the Kings hosting the Oilers in the nightcap. And then kind of back to the NBA, I guess we do have a few more games tonight. We have the Knicks hosting the Pistons in that game too, obviously with New York leading that series 1-0. But like I said, I think the Pistons can bounce back here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get a win in game two. And then we also have the Nuggets hosting the Clippers. I'm really excited to watch that one after we had such a great game in game one. So yeah, that'll pretty much wrap it up for today's episode of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on whatever platform that you listen on. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.